Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We're going to take a short season here and just open up the Word of God. It is the traditional end of summer. It's hard to believe that we're in this place already, right? The football season is here. I know some of you really rejoice in that fact, okay? We rejoice in kids going back to school in football season. So, amen, amen. So one thing we recognize as we look at our culture today is that it's hard to find the truth of what's going on in the world, isn't it? Right? Because how many have found that when you watch the news, it seems like we don't really get news, we get opinions. We have opinion shows. All you find out is opinion. I'm not hearing what truth is. It seems like I have to go and sort through and try to figure out what are the real facts that are going on in the world. I can't trust Fox News. I can't trust CNN. All I get are opinions. I get opinions. Now, I know there's news, but I want to know what the whole report is. Would you please just give me the facts, right? I mean, one of the reasons I believe that sports is such a fixation in our own country is because there's always a winner and loser, and it's very defined. Okay, we know it's factual. But man, in life, it's not that easy in our culture right now to identify what the truth is and to figure out what it is. And it's sad. It's sad because I believe that, in other words, we have this issue with news. But we have the same issue in the kingdom of God. See, we know that there's good news in the Bible, right? I mean, the gospel means what? Not a trick question. Good news. It means good news. So we know that there's good news here. But one of the problems we have as Christians is we don't realize all of the good news. We don't realize how encompassing it is and what's really being said. We're missing part of the story. Now, again, but what we need to catch though, everything God has to speak and teach is good. It's good. God is for you. He's for you. And we're gonna look at Luke chapter 4. And what's happening in this context is Jesus starts to begin his public ministry. His public ministry is starting. Okay, and he was just tempted for 40 days out in the wilderness. He comes back to Nazareth, his hometown. He goes into the synagogue, which he would normally do. This was not an odd thing. So he goes into the synagogue, and let's just see what happens. It says he came to Nazareth in verse 16, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and was his custom. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And a scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll, found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, said, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is the first thing he wants to communicate after he's starting to reveal who he actually is. This is what he chooses to say. Now, the Jews were waiting for 700 years for this word to be fulfilled. This was spoken 700 years earlier. So they've been waiting for this person. Excuse me. Thank you. Thank you. So they've been waiting for this. And Jesus stands up and says, we're not going to take the time to read through, but if you read through on the text, Jesus stands up, reads this, sits back down, and says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled." Okay. Now, again, they had some issues with that because they knew this spoke of the Messiah. And they had some problems believing Jesus was that guy. But what I want you to catch, there's a lot of interesting directions we could go here. We want to focus on the words themselves. What's the news Jesus brings? He says, "Listen, I'm anointed. I'm anointed by God. And I'm the one you've been waiting for," right? But what is that news? Good news to the poor. He sent him to proclaim liberty to those that are held captive. He says those who are imprisoned by their past can be set free, no longer haunted by regret and shame. He says blind will see. And he's not just talking about physically, he's talking about mentally, emotionally. He's saying you're going to be set free, right? And he says those who are oppressed, those who are depressed, those who are struggling in life, he says they're going to be set free too. That's all good news, isn't it? Now, what I want you to contemplate, though, for a moment is what he does not say in his first communication with the world. He does not say, "Get it right or go to hell," right? It's not turn or burn, right? He certainly is not saying that. He's not saying you have to you bend your knee to me right now. He doesn't even say stop being selfish. He doesn't even say stop doing what you're doing, right? No, he just says, look, Spirit's on me and it's good. And it's good for you. It's good for you. Right, I got good news for those that are struggling economically. I got good news for those that are struggling emotionally. I got good news for those that are struggling mentally. Right? He said, and this is his first communication. Good news. Right? And again, we got to catch this. And this one obviously is easier for us to see. And this message carries throughout the rest of the Bible. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 14, he wrote this. In that next scripture, Romans 14, he says, the kingdom of God, those who follow God. He says, look, it's not about eating and drinking. It's not about eating. What he's saying is it's not about all the stuff you get. It's not about all these things. That's not it. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what God's kingdom is about, right? It's about peace of mind, that you can live with peace of mind. Now, reality is a lot of you have chaos today, right? There's chaos. Well, actually, we were singing about today. You can have joy in chaos. But the scripture says that you should be able to have peace today. Today, you should be able to have peace. Even though there's a storm, even though there's things bursting against your life, you should be able to have peace and joy in the moment. These are promises of God. This is part of what you get when you make Jesus the leader of your life. Okay, this is what you have. And it says, again, in righteousness, right thinking. Okay, because your problems all originate in here. Okay, this is where your problems originate. Okay, lousy thinking, stinking thinking, right? And he wants to give you right thinking. This is what the kingdom is. Is this good news? Right? And some of you are poking your spouse saying, you need to hear this, right? Catch this, because it's so good. It's so good. And this is what God wants to communicate to us. He wants us to recognize who he is. We should celebrate him. He needs celebrated. Right, again, and that's why we take time like we do every week to worship. You know, that's why we do communion, that we could remember what God has done. Right? We got to remember. Why? Because, man, in 7 days, I forget. And I start adding things to the foundation of God in my life, trying to find fulfillment and peace and joy. Right? Again, think about it. How many things have you bought in your life trying to add peace and joy? How many times have you purchased things? I'm like, yes, God, that's going to give me more peace and more joy. But that wears out. What God wants to give you in his Holy Spirit, as it says, does not wear out. Is that good news? Right? That's what God says. He says, you have this today. Today. You don't have to hunt for it. You don't have to hope for it. It's available now. So, man, we should celebrate. We should celebrate. And Isaiah 25:1. And just taking a quick look here. This is, again, one of the many celebrative moments in the Old Testament. It says, oh, Lord, I will honor and praise your name. Why? You're my God. You do such wonderful things. You planned them long ago, and you've done them. So we magnify God. Okay, God is good. God is good. His news is great. It's great. And we want to celebrate it. One of the problems we have, of course, though, is that we take for granted what God has given us. And in taking it for granted, we do it at our own peril because we don't walk in the promises of God. Right? If you're here today and you're weighed down by worry, you're worried. There's financial issues. There's issues logistically in your life. There's issues physically in your life. You're worried about parents. You're worried about children. Right? If you're dealing with worry, you're dealing with this type of anxiety. If you're dealing with regret, so many of us, we still deal with regret, right? Or just dread. Some of us, we're dreading what's going to happen. You're dreading being found out. Right? Listen. As a follower of Jesus, as one who has given their life to Jesus, if you're living in that place, that's by choice. Because the promises of God are for you today. You don't have to live in anxiety and worry. That is a promise of God. We sang today about the promises. He accomplishes the promises. They're not something we hope for. Jesus came to set you free. He said, if you're weighed down and you push down, he said, come to me. I want to help you. See, but we get into this mindset too where I can't come to you, God. I have to get it right first. No, he says, come to me. You can't get it right. You can't heal the soul. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. I'm the one that wants to help. So if you're here today weighed down, don't leave that way. As we close the meeting today, there's opportunity to come forward and receive help. And what we have is people who will pray for you. They're going to pray for you. And again, to help you get the promises that you already have. Amen. They're just helping you get what's already belongs to you. Right? So why? Why do we worry? Why are we in anxiety? There's no need. You've received the promise from God. Okay? And some of us, man, I forget that. I forget that part. No, remember it today, will you? Remember it. Don't walk in that place. Don't walk in that place of anxiety and worry. You don't have to. No, you don't have to. If you want to, you can choose to. I think that's stupid. But you can choose to do that. You can choose to do that. We live in these promises. That's why we praise God. Can we just thank him for the promises? Amen. God, we just come before you. And Father, could you just tell him, let him hear your voice. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the promises. Thank you, God, that I don't have to live with anxiety. Thank you, I don't have to live with worry. Thank you, I don't live in regret. Thank you, I don't have to live in guilt. Thank you, I can have peace in my chaos. Thank you, I can even have peace dealing with this illness. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Amen. See, God wants you to see that. That is the first part of the good news. We got that part. That we don't walk in it, but we got it. We get that part. But let's go forward. See, because the whole message of Jesus is good. The whole thing is good. And if we're not taking the whole message, we're missing something. We're missing something more. Because Jesus invites you into an intimate relationship with himself. How good is that, right? That God invites us into that place. I mean, when I think about what Jesus has done for me, I'm compelled to want to follow him. I have a compulsion, right? What's compelled me? Compelled is like, it's irresistible. I have to do something. I have to respond. When I understand what God has done, how good he is, I'm compelled. I've got to do what he speaks. I have no choice. You know, again, see, because if we're going to be followers of God, which is really how Jesus speaks, Jesus doesn't speak about believers, he speaks about followers. There's many people that believe in Jesus, but they don't follow him. You know, to be a Christian, you have to be a follower, not just a believer. Okay, the Bible's real clear. It says actually even demons believe. Demons believe in Jesus, right? That doesn't impress God at all, right? No, you have to be a follower of his, okay? But when I understand how good he is, I'm compelled to want to do that. Let's go forward. The next part of the good news, Jesus wants to draw you into his inner circle. He wants to draw you in. Every single one in this room wants to draw you in to be one of his own. He wants you to be a disciple of his. In Matthew 28, many of you are familiar with this. I'm not gonna take time to read the whole thing. But I'm not going to read it. You can read it. But what he's speaking of here, he's given his command. What's the mission? What are you all supposed to do? You're supposed to go and what? Make disciples. Make disciples, okay? Preach the word, make disciples. You're supposed to make disciples of all. A disciple is a fully devoted follower. A fully devoted follower of God. One who becomes like the teacher. We're invited to be in his inner circle. Is that good news? Man, that's what God says. This is where I'm calling you. I'm calling you into this place. This would be like the boss of a, if you're in a large corporation, he calls you in and says, hey, I want to make you part of my executive team. And you're gonna get to be part of strategy. And you're gonna see how I problem solve, right? And you're gonna have a great amount of authority you never thought you'd have, okay? And actually, when I go, I'm gonna give all this to you. That's what God has promised you as a disciple. He says, come in, be with me, and I will give you authority in the spiritual realm that you never thought possible. I will put you in a place where you have great influence. He's looking for, is that a good thing? See, discipleship is a good thing, but here's the question though. Do you call yourself a disciple? Am I really a disciple? Am I really a devoted follower of God? I got these great promises. See, this is where we miss the good news, right? Being a disciple is a fabulous honor. To be one who says, I'm sold out. I am going to do what he speaks. I get to do this. That's part of the good news. You get to be a disciple of God in his inner circle. It is inner circle where he already knows everything about you, right? Man, he wants you to be that close to him. Man, God, help us. Help us catch this. We're not taking advantage of that opportunity. Okay, so that's part of the good news. Part of the good news is there's these amazing promises. Next part of the good news is that he says, I want to invite you into my inner circle. I want to make you a disciple. Let's go forward then. Matthew chapter 4. Here he is. He's starting his ministry. He's approaching a couple of men. It says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, follow me. Come follow me. I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. Now, just for clarity's sake, they did know Jesus already. Okay, we know that from reading all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can put it together. Jesus, this wasn't just a cold call. He didn't walk up to people he never met and say, follow me. That's not reality. Okay, no, he knew who they were. They were already privy to his reciting Isaiah chapter 61. They already knew about what he said that was recorded in Luke 4 about he has come to set the captive free and heal blind eyes and free the oppressed. They knew all that. They knew the promises of God already. They knew what he had promised. Okay, they've seen it, at least the miracle of the water turned to wine at Canaan. Right, so they're very aware of this. Okay, but at this point, note, when Jesus calls them, he calls them to be his disciples. Okay, he's no longer talking about the promises. He's talking about a mission. There's a mission. There's more than promises. It's not just about the promises of God. He's saying, look, the good news is you get to be part of my plan. You get to be part of the mission to go and help other people the way I've helped you. That is good news. See, but again, we typically, as Christians, don't see it as good news. We see it as a burden. We just think, oh God, man, I have to talk about you? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But why? See, but if you understand how good he is, you're compelled. You can't help yourself. You want to share. You want to share who he is. See, the good news is way more than just promises. The good news is I'm inviting you in, and I'm calling you to a mission, my mission. You get to walk and work with me. Think about what they saw. Let's run through your memory. What did they get to see? Right? I said, they already saw water turned to wine. They saw blind eyes opened, right? They saw dead people rise, okay? They saw demonized people writhing on the ground be set free, right? They saw these amazing things. Now, would they have seen that if they didn't choose to answer the call to be a disciple? No. See, God's inviting you and I into the same type of walk. He's saying, come, you got to trust me. Take all the news. Don't just take part of it, take all of it. This is what the good news is. Good news, it's great promises, it's discipleship, and it's mission. That next slide, please. This is what God's calling us to. That's what he's saying. And this is all the good news. But why would you only take a third of this? Okay? See, the reason is because we think that the responsibilities are heavy and a burden. That is because you're not close enough to him. If you're not, don't have that compulsion, that desire to push and run after him, listen, you're not understanding how good he is. Because when you understand how good he is, you lay down your nets and you follow. I want this. I want to do this. My wife and I couldn't imagine doing anything other than this. This is it. We found the truth. And listen, so many of us, we say that, but we don't mean it. Because when push comes to shove, I want to do my own thing, right? Like with the prophetic words today. I know my foundation, Jesus, but I like to add on to the house, right? Man, you're missing out. You're missing out on what God has for you. He has something great in front of you. He has something great in front of us. So I do not want you to miss this. I don't want you to miss. How do we do this? How are we going to do this? How do we stay on track? You know, there's many different scriptures I could use. I just pulled out some words of Jesus out of Matthew 22. Okay, Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And this was a religious Jew who was trying to trick him. He was trying to trap him to say something they could use against him, all right? And he said, what's the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. That's the greatest commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now look at verse 40. On these two commandments depend the whole law. Everything that was spoken, you can fulfill that if you do these two. Okay, so how are you going to do this? First thing is, look, you got to draw closer to him. You have to know him like never before. I want to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. To do that, I am meditating upon him. I'm remembering how good and how strong he is and the promises that he has for me. I need to remember those things. Second is, love others. Love others. Starting with the Bible says, the household of faith. Starting with brothers and sisters in the house of God. Okay, how do we show that love? We serve one another. We serve arm in arm. We have people down on the lower level right now serving many, taking care of their children, right? That's serving the household of God. We serve his church. We serve one another. We care for one another. We help people get the promises that they don't have yet, those promises of peace and joy. We're assisting one another in doing those things. See, and that is how we love one another. But it goes one step further. Oh, wait. You know, one other thing too. Listen, even as we love one another, we get together. Like the Bible's real clear. The Bible says get together. We don't forsake getting together. Why? Because you have to encourage one another to do the right thing. That's in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, so we're called to get together, but that's another reason we do small groups. Okay, we do small groups. Connection groups start next week. Connection groups are going to start our small group, our way we build in small groups. And why do we do that? Why? Because I want to serve you. I'm going to serve. I'm not going to just receive. I'm going to give myself away. All right? So this is what we get to do. This is how I fulfill the commandments. We love those who don't know Jesus. We represent Jesus Christ to the world. The way you walk and the way you talk represents him, okay? And again, it does take words. Too many Christians are trying to represent Jesus without words. There's a quote by St. Francis of Assisi that says, witness all the time, when necessary, use words. That sounds really good, and Christians have used it for centuries as a cop-out, okay? You gotta have words. You gotta use words, okay? And I can give you scripture on that, right? But so the thing is, we gotta have words. We're to represent him to a lost and hurting world. Jesus came, he spoke of the hope in God, okay? And we're called to do that for those around us. Again, and we gotta do it intentionally. There's an intentionality that we need. It's part of the good news. You get to be part of God's plan. You get to be part. It's not something you have to do. You get to do this. You get it. So help us catch that. Again, it's like an ambassador sent by the president to a foreign nation. Okay, you represent the president. You represent the interests of the nation in that place. Right? Well, you're an ambassador. We're called ambassadors. You're an ambassador on this earth. You're called to represent his interests on the earth. You know what his interest is on the earth? People. It's people, it's souls. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everybody to find hope, right? We have that responsibility. You know, Jesus, you know, we're the called out ones. The Bible doesn't have a deep word for church. It's the word ecclesia. It simply means called out, the called out ones. And again, it's really a pretty generic word. But again, we see it in context of a church. Like as a church, we're the called out ones here. And we have to recognize that we're called to influence the culture. You know, the Bible uses the illustration of like leaven. You know, you put leaven in the lump of dough and what happens? Right? If that little bit of leaven affects the whole thing. We, the called out ones, are to be leaven in the culture. Doesn't take a lot of us, but we can leaven the culture. We can affect the culture, right? See, the church is more battleship than love boat. How's that? Okay? It's more battleship than love boat. We have a missional purpose. Now, we have a hospital in it. Okay? We care. But we have a mission that we are to accomplish. Okay? That is part of the, say, good news. It's good news. This is what God is calling us to do. Man, what happens if we do this? If we do this, what good things are going to happen if we are willing to do this? Well, first, I said, in this life, you may not have a vacation home. You may not ever get the car that you desire to drive. But you will have more peace and more joy and more fulfillment than you will doing anything else in your life. Nothing will compare to turning yourself over to Him and believing all of the news, and not just the promises, but becoming a disciple and fulfilling the mission. And again, I want you to catch something else. Eternal reward. One of the great things that we miss as Christians is we are not eternally minded. Okay, the best of us here are going to live to be 100, right? That's the best of us here. Okay, that's 100 years. How many years is eternity? Right? More than 100, right? We need to be eternally minded. I mean, it helps me if I stay eternally minded. And there are rewards in heaven. You will be rewarded for your sacrifice. There's many scriptures that speak of it. I just pulled out this one. And Aaron, you can come on up. This is Jesus speaking. He said, God blesses you when people mock you, persecute you, and lie about you, and say all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. Be happy about it. Why? Why? For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted also. Listen, there is a reward for putting God first. There is a reward for taking all the good news. There is a great reward in heaven. See, we all go to heaven, but there are levels of rewards. How's it decided? By your faithfulness. Read Matthew 25, parable of the talents. It's obvious. There's a level of rewards. Who's going to be a steward? Paul said, I run the race to win. He knows all the Christians are going to heaven, right? He's talking about honoring God with everything he has because it's going to be judged in the future. Why do you think Jesus said, lay up treasure in heaven? Lay up treasure in heaven, right? As you give sacrificially to the purposes of God, financially, you're laying up treasure in heaven. You got to recognize the only things that you put your money into that last forever are things of the kingdom of God. The money I pour into my home, right? It's gone. But the things I pour into the kingdom of God last forever. There's levels of reward. Stay eternally minded. I'm not living for this life. I'm living for the next 10,000 after that, right? And wise people recognize that because it helps us stay on our square of what really matters. That's where God wants us to be. Man, so what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I just want to challenge you with these three things. I want you to examine your life. Examine your life. Ask yourself, am I really living in God's promises? Am I walking in joy? Am I walking in peace? Am I walking in freedom? Am I still dealing with unforgiveness and bitterness? Am I still dealing with fear? Because you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that's yours already, right? Can you call yourself a disciple? Can you call yourself that? Are you one who's fully running after Him, right? Am I on mission? Am I living for the purposes of God? Am I living to share who He is, right? Because this is all the good news. We get to be a part. It's hard because you don't have full revelation inside of you about how good God is. Because when you have that revelation, you can't help yourself. Let's keep eternity on our minds. Amen? Again, as we head into fall, you know, it's a new season. Let's lock these things into our souls, right? Take a picture of this. Take a picture of this and ask yourself this before you go to bed tonight. When you wake up in the morning, okay? Am I living in God's promises? Can I call myself a disciple? Am I on mission? Okay. God, help us bring great honor to the King. See, I don't want any of you to be surprised when you stand before Jesus, because you're all going to stand before Jesus. Ben's going to stand before Jesus. Glenn is, right? Man, Lauren is. We're all going to stand before Jesus all by yourselves, and he's going to see what you did. Now, you're going to heaven. Hallelujah. I want to honor the King. I want the king to say, well done. I want that to happen. I want it to happen. Let's embrace the whole story, the whole news cycle of how good it is. Amen? Let's pray right now. Father, we come before you. God, we thank you for what we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you, man, for the promises that we have. That God, no one in this room has to live in depression. No one in this room has to live with regret. No one in this room has to live with guilt. Man, we can be set free. That's a promise. And God, thank you. Thank you. You say you want to draw me close. You want to put me in your inner circle. What an honor. Let us see the honor that it is. Let us drink in what that honor really is. And God, let me see, Father, that mission is a good thing. It's an honor to be part of what you're doing in the world. And again, if we just take this moment. If you're here today and you're far from God, you're here today and you know, man, I used to be close to God, but I've totally disregarded who he is and I've built my own world. And you've fallen away. And you're saying, I need to get it right. I've got to get it right. I'm certainly not on mission. I'm not walking into promises. I'm doing my own thing. Don't leave today. Do not leave today without getting someone to pray with you that you could get back in right standing. God wants to restore you. Remember, it's good news. He says, this is a good moment. This is a good time. And I will set you free as you give your life to me. If there's anyone here like that, again, it's just, I ask you to be bold and raise your hand that we could pray with you. We want to be able to pray with you today. Amen. 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 Anyone else? Said, don't walk away. Don't walk away. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Thank you, Father. And again, God, that you want us to walk in assurance and security and peace. God, let us be those who are wise enough to examine ourselves and see the glory, the honor of walking with you in all the good news. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Give the Lord a hand.
Thank you, Pastor Gary.